This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and woohoo indeed, it is time to do history. I will be back with more politics in the final hour, where we're going to talk about the COVID shot information that's coming out, another museum heist, medical schools are horrible, people are leaving college, I'll get to emails, all that stuff is coming, but it ain't coming right now. Because it is hour two, and we are smack dab in the middle of our history on the Rhodesian Bush War. Again, reminding you, parts one and part two with all kinds of background. That was last night and the night before. You got to go download the podcast if you want that. I think you will find it helpful. Not a requirement at all to understand kind of where we're at now, where we pick up today, but I think it would be incredibly helpful. Now, let's talk about the state of Rhodesia. Let's first talk about voting, shall we? I posed a question to you last night at the end of our little history segment. I posed a question to you about us, about our country, your country, my country. Who should be able to vote? And I think we agreed last night that there should be some restrictions, right? We may disagree on what those restrictions might be, but you don't want 10-year-olds to have a vote, right? You don't want felons sitting in the joint getting ready to go to the electric chair tomorrow. You don't want them to have a vote, right? You don't want illegals to vote, do you? Okay, so no matter what, you agree there should be some restrictions. Now, I'm going to play you something. I know we're doing history, but I'm going to play you something. I played it last hour. Here's Shree Indiana Jones of Michigan.
I am sick of your lies. The American people are sick of these lies. American people demand truth.
America is very...
Do you think if we had higher voting standards in this country that Shree Indiana Jones would be a member of Congress? Play it. Chris, you know what? Do me a favor, Chris. Grab Hank Johnson... Guam tipping over. We haven't played that one in ages. It's years and years and years old. I think this might be 10 years old. The reason I bring it up is Hank Johnson just got done calling America the great Satan.
We are the world's number one bully. And we're using our immense, unrivaled power to rule over those who have less power. And we're doing it with impunity. And this sends a shocking message to the world that America is indeed what did they used to call the great hand of Satan or something?
That's the same Hank Johnson back in the day who said this.
This is a island that at its widest level is what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
Let me ask you an honest question. Funny as that is, if we had higher voting standards in this country, do you think that person would still be in Congress making decisions on laws that govern the most powerful country on the planet? Of course not. Rhodesia was the wealthiest country in all of Africa. As I mentioned several times already, paved roads, wonderful schools, doctors, lawyers, great standard of living. You would have thought you were in any modern American city. All the rest of Africa, not all of it, but most of the rest of Africa, living in backwards conditions. And then there's this jewel in Rhodesia. So, who got to pick the government of Rhodesia? Well, there were changes over time, by the way, but in general, you had to qualify to vote. And contrary to what all the do-gooder commies around the world said at the time, part of the qualification was not the color of your skin, but there were literacy requirements, property qualifications. You had to be a subject of the British Empire. There were things, and I don't want to get too specific because they changed. You know, pre-1961, they were more strict. Then Rhodesia, trying to roll back some things, started to ease those restrictions. But, you know, on the voting rolls, for instance, in 1961, there were 95,000 white people who were able to vote, and there were 2,200 black Africans who were able to vote. It was not barring any skin color, but because the qualifications were what they were, because there were standards, a large percentage of the white Europeans in Rhodesia could vote, and a very small percentage of the black Africans could vote. Now, that sounds extremely discriminatory, doesn't it? That sounds wrong. Surely everybody who reaches the age of 18 should have a say in the government, right? And the reason I bring this up is it's going to become a central theme of our story. Rhodesia didn't see it that way. Rhodesia enjoyed its standard of living, enjoyed the kind of country it was. But here's a problem, you see, and it's a big problem. You've heard of the Labour government, the Labour Party, I should say, of Britain. I've told you before, that's their Democrats. That's their Communist Party. Those are the ones who run Britain now. That's why they're massively importing Muslims from all over the planet to form rape gangs to pillage the British women. The Labour Party. Well, in the 1960s, there are things going on globally that are going to essentially doom Rhodesia in the end. And one of those things is the Labour Party was running things in Britain. Combine that with this. The Air Fingers, quote, civil rights movement globally is really, really reaching its peak. Now, why did I say Air Fingers, quote? Because the civil rights movement surely was only good, right? And I think you would agree with me that, yeah, it's probably not great to have black people eating at different restaurants. And that's not a great way to run society. That's not a just way to run society. The reason I gave the Air Fingers quote thing on it was, well, remember what we talked about last hour. I've spoken before about this many times. Let me use the example I've used before. In Montana, in the Rocky Mountains, if you hike through the Rocky Mountains in an area full of boulders, you will inevitably come across one that looks like God pulled out his sword and sliced it in half. It's not just broken. It's this clean, smooth break. It's odd looking. We're talking about a boulder the size of your car sliced in two. Only God didn't use his sword, you see. Over time, that boulder developed a little crack. Not big. You might not even really see it with your eye. A little crack. What happened from there? Water, inevitably, maybe it's snow melting, maybe it's rain, water would get in it. And then one night, the temperature would drop to such a degree that water would freeze. When water freezes, it expands. When it expanded, pop, the rock shattered in two. This is exactly what communists do in every single society. They find existing cracks, legitimate cracks, by the way, oftentimes legitimate cracks. They find the cracks in your society. They get inside of that crack and they try to freeze it to shatter the society. And the global communists, most definitely the Soviets, recognized the civil rights movement, not just in America, but other places, but the civil rights movement as an incredible opportunity for them to shatter the country. And they got involved in it. They were very focused about being involved in it. They viewed it as an opportunity to break America, to break Western civilization. This was going on in many different countries in the 1960s. Now, I already laid out the government of Rhodesia at the time. How do you think their government, how do you think that's landing with the global civil rights do-gooders on the planet? Let me spoil it for you. It ain't landing well. And Britain decides they want to do something about it. Uh-oh. Before we get to that, what do you carry on you right now? I want you to be honest with yourself. I don't care if you're sitting at home, sitting in your car, sitting at work. What is within arm's reach that will stop a deranged lunatic with a machete from chopping your head off? Maybe he hops your fence and comes into your backyard. Maybe he's waiting by your car right now. Maybe he's about to walk in the office, disgruntled former employee. What do you have within arm's reach? Jesse, I'm in LA. I can't. Byrna is legal everywhere. And Byrna's compact launcher is so small, it fits in your freaking purse. You can put it in your pocket. It's the size of a smartphone. We're talking tear gas balls, kinetic rounds, pepper balls that shoot 60 feet, 400 feet per second. Whap! And then you want to claw your eyes out as you're sitting there trying to breathe. Stop a bad man from hurting you, from hurting your daughter. Please put one of these under the Christmas tree for the people you love. BYRNA, Byrna.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Thursday. Do not forget tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to email your questions. They don't have to be political. Doesn't matter what it is. History, food, whatever. Email them in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It is the 1960s. The civil rights movement across the globe has been invaded and infected by communists, doing the best they can to divide Western society. And of course, Britain has their communists as well. We have our Democrats. They have their Labour Party. The Labour government in Britain, they don't like the look of Rhodesia right now. Yeah, of course, it's wealthy. It's prosperous. It's clean. It's wonderful. But not everyone gets to vote. In fact, not very many black Africans get to vote. Lots of white Europeans get to vote. And so they start pushing. Remember, at this point, Rhodesia is a British colony. I cannot stress that enough. A British colony, meaning they are under the British crown. Britain says, how about one man, one vote? Everyone gets to vote. Well, the government, the people of Rhodesia, they understandably said, excuse me, look around at Africa. Do you have any idea what's going to happen if we allow everybody to have a vote with no property requirements and no nothing? Do you understand what will happen here? The whole place will be over. All this prosperity. The communists didn't want to hear it. One man, one vote. One man, one vote. Over and over and over and over again. Now, Rhodesia has to make a choice. And keep in mind that I'm really skipping over some boring political negotiations, but Rhodesia's government, they were trying as hard as they could to do whatever they had to do to work with Britain so they didn't have to do, well, what they're about to do. Meaning in 1961, they even changed how they do the voting. They didn't change it completely, but they opened it up a little bit more, kind of introduced tiers to it. You could be in the A tier or the B. Again, they're trying to massage the situation without giving up their country. Britain did not want to hear it. The communists in Britain did not want to hear it. And they said, no, you will do this. And so Rhodesia, They rebelled. There's no other way to put it. In 1965, Rhodesia said, yeah, we're not a British colony anymore. Now we're ours. We're Rhodesia. We're independent. And this is how we're going to run things now. Now, pause for a second. You have probably heard of the SAS before, the Special Air Service. If you have not, you should know that that is the British version of the Navy SEALs. And in fact, they came about really because of the British fighting in Northern Africa. They were the guys parachuting behind enemy lines, doing all kinds of, you know, special operations stuff. They are, to this day, bad to the bone. Bad dudes, the British SAS. Well, up to this point, remember we're in the 60s, Rhodesia's military, they would work hand in hand with Britain's military because, again, it's a British colony. And Rhodesia had an SAS as well that trained with the British SAS. Super, super bad dudes. You get what I'm saying. Rhodesia declares independence in 1965. Britain is so angry about this, they actually consider a military response to the open rebellion of the Rhodesian country, of the Rhodesian government. And they approach the British SAS and start talking to them about it. The British SAS had such a level of respect for the Rhodesians they had trained with and worked with. The British government essentially faced a mutiny from within their own high-level SAS. The guys weren't going to go. Nah, I'm good. I'm not. You want me to attack Rhodesia? Nah. Now, you got to do something if you're the British government, right? You can't let open rebellion go, especially these white racists in Rhodesia. And again, I want to remind you of something I reminded you of last night. Over half of the Rhodesian army was black Africans. This is not a white versus black thing, how it was sold to the planet. Black Africans died with their European brothers in this war. Europeans would give their lives to save black Africans in this war. This wasn't some Nazi thing. That's not at all how it was. Yes, there were fewer black voters. No question about it. It was not a white versus black thing. Anyway, Britain has to do something. So they essentially get the world, the really most of the civilized world, to sanction Rhodesia. This is a country that is landlocked, keep in mind. They have no access to water, anything like that. Britain slaps sanctions, strict ones, on Rhodesia. Now, this would normally be about the end of any landlocked country, but Rhodesia, to their credit, they had a couple friends. And those friends happen to be neighbors. We'll talk about those friends, some combat things, in a moment. Before we talk about friends, I want to talk to you about babies. It is the Christmas season. I want you to picture this. What if you gave a card to somebody you love, and you let them know in that card that you gave $28 to preborn in their name? You can do that. You know, you can give to preborn in someone's name or even in honor of someone, maybe someone you lost this year, last year. That $28 will buy an ultrasound for a woman who's about to abort her baby. Women who get ultrasounds choose life almost every time. Preborn is giving them out. Is there anything more blessed you can do this Christmas season than save the life of a baby? And oh, you can write it off. It's tax deductible. You can give them as much as you want. We've had people give them $50,000 before. As much as you want. It's tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Save the life of a baby this Christmas season. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Thursday. Remember to send in your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Remember, you can download the show iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's get back to the story here. 1965, Rhodesia declares its independence. Britain is upset, to put it mildly. They get the rest of the world, and they themselves slap crippling sanctions on Rhodesia, or I should say what should be crippling sanctions on Rhodesia. But Rhodesia has a couple friends. Now, we need to do something that I did with you the first night, but we're probably going to do this a couple more times because you have to visualize this. You don't have to look at a map. You can, but I want you to draw a circle in your mind, or maybe you can draw one if you're a visual person. I want you to make this a clock, okay? So it's a clock. Now, from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, that's obviously half the clock, there is a country known as Mozambique, all right? Mozambique. From 12 o'clock over to, let's call it 10 o'clock, there is a country known as Zambia, all right? From 6 o'clock to about 8 o'clock, there is South Africa. Why am I doing this lame clock thing? Because it matters so much for our story. South Africa, we will begin there. South Africa and Rhodesia are as tight can get. There are so many South Africans in Rhodesia. They love each other. They work together. They have similar forms of. They are best freaking friends. As far as countries go, South Africa is a friend. When these sanctions get slapped on Rhodesia, South Africa steps up and says, hey, we got you. Sell us your stuff. We'll continue to trade with each other. South Africa also has, and this will definitely matter for our story throughout our story, they have that wonderful, wonderful liquid gold known as oil. They keep Rhodesia's well supplied with oil. They have a friend. Now let's go to Mozambique. Remember the 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock? Big, big border with Rhodesia. They're also friendly because Mozambique at this point, and this will change, spoiler alert, this is going to change. Mozambique is run by the Portuguese, all right? The Portuguese, Rhodesia, they get along. They are still working with each other, trading. Zambia, the country in the Northwest, forget about them. We are going to get to them. They're going to be featured here shortly. But Rhodesia has friends. What's the result of this? They declare independence. All these sanctions, they're supposed to be bankrupted. Rhodesia's flourishing. Flourishing. They went independent, and they're getting along really, really well. Now, we have to go globally again because this will matter for the rest of our story. Communists, it's a religion of destruction and domination, as we've talked about so many times before. Communism was never supposed to be about any one country. Communism was always designed, always pushed as being a global thing. At this point in history, the Soviet Union is churning and burning. China, churning and burning. These are communist countries, and they are very, very interested in spreading their communism globally. And they are then, just as they are now, very, very interested in the continent of Africa. Africa is gigantic. It is strategically located. They have all kinds of resources that every country wants. The communist nations on the planet want Africa, and they want all of it. And they recognize there's an opportunity here. We have this country called Rhodesia. Britain has cut them off. And there's a crack, isn't there? We already discussed that crack. There are all kinds of little villages and African reservations, essentially, in Rhodesia. Some black Africans who have not had a standard of living equal to the white Europeans. There's enough of a crack there that can be exploited. And now terrorism starts. Terrorism mainly from Zambia. Zambia, remember, it's that 12 o'clock to 10 o'clock, the northwestern border. That's Zambia. The Soviets and the Chinese both form groups, African communist, African nationalist, whatever word you want to put on it, African groups, and they decide they're going to have a go at conquering Rhodesia. And they weren't even that subtle about it. The Soviets freaking gave them tanks. They would send advisors, Chinese advisors, Soviet advisors. How involved are the Soviets and Chinese? And this will matter for the rest of our story. They would take African leaders and they would ship them to places like the Soviet Union, like China, like East Germany, and they would ship them there for training. And I mean in-depth training, not just weapons training, not just battle tactics. I'm talking about insurgency tactics, communist tactics. How do you infect a place? How do you infiltrate a place? How do you destroy a place? Training camps for the Africans put on by the Soviets and the Chinese, and the poor Rhodesians don't even understand what is about to come their way, but they do the night a white farmer, it's 1966, a white farmer and his wife, they are ambushed and slaughtered on their farm. I need to set up something here. I already mentioned Rhodesia is a huge country. I mentioned that last night, not so much tonight. It's a very, very big place. It's not a small country. And they, of course, have these cities, these urban areas. But as I've said, farming, agriculture, it's such a wonderful land for that. It's just made for that. It was a huge part of their economy, huge part of what they did. And there were these huge farms that the Europeans ran and owned. And they had, of course, Africans working on there, black Africans working with them, things like that. But these farms, as you can imagine, you can't put a farm in the middle of the city. They are rural farms. They're out there. They're in the hinterlands. They're not right next to the cop shop. This creates a security nightmare for Rhodesian farmers. There will come a day, we're not there yet in our story, where farmers will have 12-foot high security fences all around their homes because they were worried their kids couldn't go to the yard without a bunch of gorillas chopping them up with machetes. That's how dangerous this situation is. But they don't know this yet, right? Because the terror hasn't started. Well, the terror just began. 1966, white farmer and his wife butchered. Butchered. And the communists in Africa, in the Soviet Union, in China, they want the terror to increase. And they found, I was about to say an unlikely ally, but anyone even vaguely familiar with our political situation in the United States of America will understand it's the most likely ally in the world. Wouldn't you know it, young college girls started to help the international communists smuggle in weapons they could use to commit acts of terror. As I have said many times, there is no more vicious, violent communist on the planet than the liberal white woman. It's just a fact. So we will continue with all this in a moment. Before we continue with any of that, let us make sure we understand, I mean, how do you live long? If you can avoid a plane crash or a car crash or whatever, well, work out and eat good, right? That's it. Not that I do it. I do it as much as I can, but work out and eat good. Your dog needs the same program. You know that. Now, most of us take our dogs for a walk, but the nutrition part, we fail badly. We fail our dogs. That's why our dogs in America die at 10 years old. They eat dog food. Why do you think all dog food is brown? It's dead. They cooked all the nutrition out of it. It's dead. There's nothing in it. They have to spray it down with crap so your dog will even eat it. Did you know that? Rough Greens is alive. Rough Greens is a nutritional supplement you sprinkle on your dog's food. Vitamins and minerals and omega oils and everything under the sun. Let Rough Greens keep your dog alive. Go to roughgreens.com and use the promo code Jesse, and they'll send you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, getting ready to move into Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to our story of the Rhodesian Bush War. Terrorist attacks have begun. Russia has their own group of African nationalist communists. China has their group of African nationalist communists. They are receiving training. Now, again, it's not that I'm apologizing, but I'm just going to drop more details on you because the details are actually necessary. Most of the time, details kill a story, but you have to understand this. Two different groups of African nationalist communists, okay? There is ZAPU. I'm not going to go into what it stands for. That's a detail. It doesn't matter. ZAPU, backed by the Soviets. Then there's ZANU, backed by the Chinese. Don't worry about making sure you know who's backed by who. ZAPU, backed by the Soviets. ZANU, backed by the Chinese. These organizations, as I said, are being trained by the Soviets and the Chinese in infiltration tactics. Rhodesia is not fully aware of it yet, but war has already been declared on them by the Soviets and the Chinese, who want to make Rhodesia a communist country. And they start by sending rebels over the border. In fact, let me give you a summary of how this war is going to go. Not to spoil the ending, but you probably get it by now. Let me give you a summary of how this war is going to go. There aren't that many white Europeans in Rhodesia, right? 200,000, give or take. 200,000 of them. It's not that big of a military. 20,000. Again, give or take, it's going to depend on the time period. 20,000 in the military. The communists are going to start setting up shop in the countries around Rhodesia, and they're going to start making incursions into the country. The military is going to fly out and kill this incursion and kill that incursion. They find 10 guys here and 20 guys there, and they find this and they find that. But over time, as the world retreats on poor Rhodesia, the incursions increase in volume, increase in frequency. You understand? This is the very beginning of it. We're in like 1966 here. What's happening now is the Rhodesian military, which is elite, absolutely elite. There are a few different elements to the military I want to mention right now. They have an air force. Remember when I said South Africa and Rhodesia are super tight? About half of the Rhodesian air force is actually South African. South African pilots, South African planes, that's how tight they are. That will matter later on. So there's an air force. They have the Rhodesian light infantry. Again, I want to stress, over half of the Rhodesian light infantry were black Africans. This is not a white versus black war. The Rhodesian light infantry, amazing troops. Amazing troops. Again, outdoor people, rugged people, mandatory military service. They were amazing troops. And then there were actually two different kind of special operations forces, special Green Berets, Navy SEALs, okay? There were the Rhodesian SAS. I already mentioned them earlier. Bad dudes. And then there's another group, super, super cool, called the Selous Scouts or Selous Scouts. I've heard it pronounced a thousand different ways as I was doing my research for the show. These are all excellent units, top-tier units. They are having no problem hunting down and wiping out these rebels right now because there simply aren't enough of them. You should know the first group of rebels who came across the border, it was not a big group, got hunted down and annihilated almost immediately. They get located, hunted down, annihilated. The Air Force is used. Helicopters are used. They have to stay mobile because there aren't enough of them to just be stationed all over the country. They have to put them in various spots and then be ready to hop on a plane, hop on a helicopter, and get where you're going. The use of parachutes and helicopters is something that will last throughout this war. All right? Group comes in, gets wiped out. Group comes in, gets wiped out. The communists, though, they're starting to get smarter as they fail. What they had initially tried to do was, as I mentioned, terrorist tactics. Hey, let's butcher a farmer in the family. Let's throw a bomb in an ice cream shop. Let's just basic what you would kind of recognize today as more jihadi terror tactics. But the Rhodesian military, the Rhodesian intelligence service, was so good, these tactics weren't working that great. The commies needed more power. And so they started to do something. They started to set up secret camps inside of the country, inside Rhodesia. Remember, it's a huge place. So you don't just send in 10 idiots from Zambia. You try to set up camps inside. Now, we're about to get to a point where it's going to get very difficult on the Rhodesians, but they're definitely winning right now. And a huge part of why they're winning is these commie terrorists are coming from Zambia, virtually all of them from Zambia, because Zambia is the one that's not a friend. Well, the border between Zambia and Rhodesia is a big river. Rivers help provide security because they're hard to cross. They're hard to cross unknown, that's for sure. The Rhodesians understand if they simply keep this river monitored, keep your patrols up there, you should be able to locate and snuff out all the commie terrorists either as they're coming or shortly after they come. You hunt them down, you snuff them out. And I mentioned earlier the Celus Scouts. I'm just going to call them the Celus Scouts. I went to community college. They did so much cool stuff. One of the things they were so good at, the SAS too, but was tracking. It's wild when you read the books how these guys would track. They'd be out there in the bush and they'd come across sign that terrorist groups had come, and they would just start hunting them like they were animals. For a day, 2 days, 3 days, following the tracks like bloodhounds. And then they'd finally find them. You make a phone call, you bring in the troops, you kill them all. You find them, make a phone call, bring in the troops, kill them all. And I know we're about to be done with our story. I'm going to get back to politics. Sometimes wounded terrorists trying to get back to Zambia would be eaten by crocodiles in the rivers. One guy I read a story about, he was wounded, got hunted down by a lion. It's wild, wild what's happening. But tomorrow, something will happen that will spell eventually disaster for the Rhodesians. That's going to have to wait till tomorrow. Or wait, Monday, Chris? Monday. Not Tuesday. No, we're not making them wait till Tuesday. That's not right. No. Tomorrow, or Monday. We'll do it Monday. All right. Our story continues on Monday. Back to politics next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.